Good morning, everybody. So this week, my family has all had allergies and a cough and all that, and I was doing really well. I even bragged at one point and said that I'm a, I'm a young, healthy, young man. And then this morning I woke up and have a cough. So y'all have to pardon me if I drink a little bit more water than normal. So, but anyways, all that to say, very glad you are all here this morning. Glad that Jason and his family are back. We've missed them for sure. And so, but knowing how it is coming back from a long vacation, we both kind of figured it'd be in everyone's best interest if I preached this week again instead of Jason. He still has Hawaii on the brain, and so he's struggling talking this morning, and so we had a conversation this morning, and he had to pause and think, and that's not good for anybody. So just kidding, Jason. We love you, and we're glad you're back, man. So so here we are, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the last Sunday before we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is a really neat thing to walk through as a body, I think, because it really attunes our hearts and our minds to think about Jesus in the midst of this season, where so many other things can come up and distract us and remove our thoughts and remove our hearts from thinking about the birth of Christ. And so for Advent, for this season, this Christmas season, we as a church and leadership really wanted to spend time thinking about and processing through and understanding what it means that Jesus was born. And so that's why we are celebrating Advent and not just Christmas. Christmas is great, and trees and stockings and presents and all that's fine. I love it. I enjoy it. Went to the Amarillo Symphony last night, and it was beautiful. Love singing those songs and hearing the music. All of that is great. But Jesus is why we celebrate this season, and so we wanted to spend time in that. So we've already celebrated over the last 3 weeks, hope, peace, and joy that the incarnation of the Messiah brought to the world. So we celebrated the first week, hope of all that God had promised to do through the Messiah, through the promised one, and Jesus' birth brought about that hope and won us our salvation. And we also looked at and celebrated the hope for what is still to come in Jesus' second advent, his second coming, as we are looking towards that now as his followers. The next week, Jason preached about peace, the peace that comes with the coming of Jesus, peace between man, us, and God, peace that we are no longer enemies. We now have perfect peace with God because of the sacrifice and the coming of Jesus, peace between us and each other, the peace that brings us as followers of Christ, and how we are to have peace with one another, and also peace with creation. And so we celebrated that peace. And then last week we talked about the joy that came with Jesus' birth, the joy that was inexpressible, never-ending, joy in the midst of hardship and pain and difficulty, joy that comes from deep within, only found in Jesus. So we celebrated these things. We celebrated the hope, the peace, and the joy. And so today we get to celebrate on this fourth Sunday of Advent. We celebrate the coming of Jesus, the birth of our Savior, the love that Jesus brought with him at his coming. And so this morning we're going to celebrate love, the love of God that was made manifest, as we read in 1 John earlier. Thanks, Neil. Made manifest, made real, love with skin on that came down from heaven in the person of Jesus, born in a manger, humble and lowly. The greatest love of all time, the love of God for his rebellious, wayward creation, love that changed everything, the love of God that he sent with Jesus, as we'll read and talk about in a minute. God is love, and this love is greater than anything we could ever possibly imagine. And so we're going to read those verses in 1 John again. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read those few verses that Neil read this morning. We'll pray, and then we will jump into our message this morning. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 says this. Excuse me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for, God, just who you are. God, that at your very core, at your very nature, God, we read in your word that you are love. God, and so as we look at that and grasp, desire to grasp and understand that this morning, what it means that you are love and the love that you have for us and how that changes everything and should change everything about us. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears, allow the Spirit to move deeply within us, God, and change us at our core because of your word this morning, because of your great love for us. God, I pray that this morning we walked in one way and we will walk out another way, God, more holy, more righteous, God, desiring to love the way that you do, accepting your love maybe for the first time or for the first time in a long time, the love that you have for us. God, it is so great and so deep and so wide, God, that we can't even fathom. So thank you for love. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that we find in it. God, I pray as we continue to dig through your word that you would help us see, know, and understand it. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So when you think of love, what do you think of? I think for many of us, images of guys, this mainly may pertain to us or maybe women too, but images of red roses, heart-shaped boxes of candy, right? Presents, love, right? That's what we think of a lot of times. Valentine's Day, it's the holiday of love. Or maybe you think of your pets, you know, you love your pets. Maybe you think of family or friends. And all those things are great, and we need to, you know, those are ways we can celebrate and maybe an earthly kind of love. Relationships are a form of love that we can celebrate and we can enjoy. But when we think of love, our thoughts should first and foremost go to God, right? See, our world, though, has a whole different idea of love. It has completely overtaken the idea of what true love really looks like and what true love really is. Because love, as we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the end of verse 8, it says, God is love. God is love. And we see that on display throughout the entirety of Scripture. From the very beginning of Scripture to the very end, we see God's love on display. And so we're going to talk about some of that this morning. See, love comes from God. He is the author of love. He is the originator of love. Right? God is where love starts. It's where it started from the beginning. And it's the well that we draw true love from now. His love for us, his special creation, knows no bounds. It is limitless. It is unconditional. It is greater than anything we could ever possibly imagine. We love things in this world. We love our families. We love our friends. We love different things, right? I love the Philadelphia Eagles, and I dislike the Dallas Cowboys. I was going to say hate, but that's not very nice. And so we're talking about love, so, you know, not a big fan. But anyways, I love the Philadelphia Eagles. I love cheesecake and banana pudding, although the Lord saw fit to keep me skinny and made me allergic to bananas, so banana pudding and me don't really mix, which is very sad. But if you have a really good banana pudding recipe, go ahead and make it. I'll eat it. And if I go, well, at least I went eating something I love, right? But the love of God is so much different than what we typically think of. When we hear the word love or say the word love, it isn't the same a lot of times. Our society and our culture has kind of warped and taken over this word from us as followers of Jesus. And so I want to kind of bring us back a little bit to understand where this word love and this idea of love came from. And if we believe Scripture, which if you are a follower of Jesus, you have to believe that this is the inerrant Word of God. No mistakes, there are no misquotes, there's no misrepresentation in this. So when we read things like in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love, we have to understand and believe and lean deeply into the fact that God is love. He is where love comes from. And so when we compare what we call love to anything else other than God, we're cheapening the idea of love. If God is the originator, if God is where all love begins, he is the wellspring of love because he is love, then our love for the things around us, the people around us, must be compared to the person of God. And I don't know about you, but I fall inadequately short over and over and over again when I compare myself to God the Father. And that's okay because there's grace and there's mercy, but God is love. The love of God is much greater, deeper, wider than anything we'd ever wrap our minds around. His love was made real to us one cold night in Bethlehem in a manger. See, before that, and maybe for some of us today, it may feel like we don't really grasp and understand what it means when we say God is love. Right, because we can't see God, and that's hard sometimes. We don't receive physical gifts or blessings or things like that from God. A lot of what we receive from God is spiritual. A lot of what we receive from God isn't in the form that we would maybe desire to see love expressed. Guys in this room, if you're married or dating or anything like that, when birthdays or anniversaries or Christmas or Valentine's Day come around, what are we expected to do? If we love our significant other, what are we supposed to do? Buy gifts, get presents, flowers, candy, all that sort of stuff. That is how we express love. And in a way, God expressed it the same, right? Because he sent us a gift. He sent us a present. Why do we open presents on Christmas? I think it originates back with this idea of Jesus coming, being sent, as we celebrate his arrival. See, the love of God was made manifest. And that word that we read in 1 John 4, manifest, basically just means it was made to be real. It was clear and obvious. The love of God at this point in time was manifest. It was made clear and obvious to all of creation that God loves us because he sent his son, Jesus, right? This love that God had put on flesh and was born into our world. This love is a person, Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. That is love. See, what great love God has for us, God the Father, what immeasurable, limitless, deep, high, wide, long love that God the Father has for us to send his one and only Son to earth to walk among us, to live among us, eat, drink, sleep, work among us, to sweat, to cry, to laugh among us. God incarnate, God in flesh, the God of all the universe, the one who created all things, sustains all things, holds all things together in his hands, that God, Jesus, the Son, came down to be among us, Emmanuel, we call him, God with us. No other religion has a God that came down to be with them in the way that Jesus did. No other belief system has a Savior, a God that would come and live among his people and be like them. That's love, right? The God of all the universe loved us. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus, to be with us. Love isn't red roses and candy and presents. It is so much more than that. God is love. He is the definition, the source, the embodiment of love. That is who we celebrate at Christmas. So I love my kids, right? I really do. Like every fiber of my being loves my children. Like everything that is in me. I can't adequately express to you how much I love my kids. One of my greatest joys in life is being able to watch my children do the things that they really enjoy doing. Both my boys love sports, and so watching them play sports is one of the great things that I love in life. As they work on and practice and triumph and sometimes fail in the midst of whatever they are going after, I love to see them do that. Harley loves to sing, and she's learning how to be better at it and play piano, and she's growing in that, and I love to hear her just walk around the house every single day singing, right now, Christmas carols, right? And I love my kids. They are the greatest blessing that I have on this earth physically, are my children. And here's something that maybe you don't know, is I love all of you as well. Right, I really do. Like, it's amazing the love that I have for the people sitting in this room. And I don't even have to know you all that well to say that I love you, because I do. But here's something, as I was preparing this, that I hope you don't take the wrong way. But if I'm really honest with all of you right now, I would find it very hard, probably impossible, to give one of my children's lives for any of yours. I mean, I hope that doesn't offend you, but my kids, I don't think I could do it. Like, if the church caught on fire this morning, the first place I would go would be back in the kids' room to make sure my family is safe. I would get them out of the building, and then I would come back in and get as many people, hopefully, as I could, out of here safely. Right, that would be my first priority, is I would pass all of you and go make sure my family is safe. And I would dare say the majority of you in this room would say the same thing. I would not be offended in the least if you passed me up to go make sure your family was safe. Right? I mean, that makes sense to me. But God's love for us was so great, so immeasurable, so undeniable, that He, God, sent His Son to die for me and for you. Just let that sink in. He sent His only Son to suffer, to bleed, to be beaten, and to die one of the most painful deaths on a cross that the world has ever invented, so that you and I could know God, have a relationship with Him, spend eternity in heaven with Him. It's a good thing that I'm not God, because I don't know if I could have done it. Only somebody, only a God who is all love, who is love, embodies love, created love, expresses love always in His person, would have been able to do that. Especially for us. Not one of us deserves it. Not one of us could earn the love of God. In fact, we all are rebellious against God. Our hearts are turned away from Him until the Spirit of God draws us to Him. Everything that we do apart from Jesus, before Jesus, is rebellion against Him. But yet God decided long ago that He would love us. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 says this. Oh, excuse me, wrong. Oh, I'll find it in a minute. Sorry. All of Scripture is littered with the evidence of God's great love for His creation. From the act of creation in the very beginning, right? God showed love just in creating us. God showed love in creating the world and the universe. His love was written all over it. So then His love is expressed in mercy to Adam and Eve when they sinned. He could have just ended it all there and started over. But instead, He forgave Adam and Eve and set them up outside of the garden, even though they had rebelled and sinned against Him, His love and His mercy was there. Then He chose a man named Abram to begin His people with. That's love. so that he could have a people that he could bless and that they would be his people and he would be their God. He chose a man named Abram and began to bless Abram with a son and then many people. Then to the unending forgiveness and mercy and grace for his people Israel. And if you look all through Scripture, and I would encourage you if you haven't, that you would read in the Old Testament and see all of the ways that the people of God sinned against God and rebelled against God and ran the other way and chose other gods and went after other things other than God. And what did God do? He loved them and he forgave them and he brought them back to himself. And then ultimately, as we celebrate at Christmas time, this Advent season, God's love is on full display and culminates in the arrival of Jesus into humanity, right? God's love is on full display when the arrival, the coming of Christ. The birth of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas is one of the greatest acts of love to have ever taken place. I've said this before, I think I said it last week, but I believe the incarnation, the coming of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas is the greatest event in all of human history. And I believe that because without the birth of Jesus, there could have been no death of Jesus. So I'm not taking away anything from the death of Jesus, but without Jesus being born, he could not die. And so maybe they're 1A and 1B, right? The birth of Jesus is 1A and the death of Jesus on the cross is 1B and the greatest acts of love in all of human history. Someone's jamming. All right. All right, we're just gonna go with it. All right? Don't know whose that is, but... Oh, Carolyn, you're in trouble. That's all right, let's see. Oh, I can move around, so see if, oh yeah, there it is. I think it was a spam call. It's okay. Here, I'm gonna go ahead and see if I can, I don't know how to silence this thing. I don't know. All right, if it happens again, we'll just dance a little more. It'll be okay. No, it's okay, Carolyn. I understand. All right, so. I love you anyways, Carolyn. How about that? You're welcome. All right, so God's love is on full display and culminates in the arrival of Jesus into humanity. It's the greatest event, the greatest act of love to ever have taken place in the world. God sending his son to die for us and the death of Jesus on the cross, like I said, are probably in my estimation, and this is, you know, my arbitrary thinking, ranked 1A and 1B in acts of love contest, right? And I can't think of anything greater that's ever been done for all of humanity than God sending his son as a baby. And that son, the son of God, the second person of the Trinity saying, I love this creation enough to say, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. So back to the burning building analogy. If my family is not in the building, I would like to think that I would be willing even to sacrifice myself to save as many people in that building as I could, right? If it takes me losing my life to save people, I would like to think, I've never been put in that situation, but I would like to think that I would do that. And so if you look at this and then you have the idea of, and you look at John chapter 15, verse 13. Does anyone know that verse? Make sure I wrote that one down right. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Right? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so we see that, like I said, if my family isn't here, I would like to think I love each of you enough to say I would sacrifice, lay down my life to make sure that you are safe. And so my life is much less valuable. My life is much less worthy of saving than Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of all things. God sent his son into the world to die, and Jesus, God the Son, willingly went to the cross. So we see this great love from God the Father, and it's a beautiful love in sending his Son, something I don't know that I would be capable of doing. But then God the Son, right, knew everything that was going to happen because he's God. He's part of the Trinity. He can look and he can see, I know that I'm going to suffer. I know that I'm going to die. He knew from the moment he was born. I don't know how baby Jesus's mind functioned, if it functioned on a higher plane than us. You know, when we're babies, we're babies, we think of eating and sleeping and making room for more food, right? That's what we do as babies. I don't know if that was baby Jesus, but I do know as a child, Jesus went to the temple and was talking with the religious leaders of the day, right? So child Jesus knew enough and retained enough of his godhood to understand and have a conversation with the religious leaders of the day at the temple. That's pretty impressive, right? So this same Jesus, this God the Son, who existed from eternity past, came down, was born, and was willing to go and die for each of us. To suffer the greatest, as I said earlier, one of the most torturous, painful deaths that at least at that point the world had ever come up with in crucifixion. Suffocating to death. Being whipped, flesh being torn, a crown of thorns pressed into his head. Our God, our Savior, decided that we were worth it. I can't think of any greater love. And I cannot help but to see how unworthy I am of that love. I'm unworthy of the love of God. I know some people in this world, I remember, 15 years ago probably, this church, before it was Crossroads, we went down, I was interning at the church, and we went down to Port Arthur after a hurricane, and we helped do some stuff down there, and I remember we did door-to-door evangelism, and it was pretty intimidating, and it was difficult. I remember we had one student that decided to go into someone's house because they said they had pie, and they shut the door and locked it, and that's a whole nother story, but that was terrifying. And so that was kind of a joke, but it wasn't, I don't know. All right. No one's laughing. So apparently not funny joke. Right. But I remember as we were being trained to go do door to door evangelism, which I had never done before. I was, 20 years old, and I had never done door to door evangelism. I'd never done anything like that before. And interning with students, and we were going to take students to do door-to-door evangelism. I remember as we were being trained for that, we were trained for people's responses, right? We would ask them if they have heard of Jesus or if they know Jesus and if they love Jesus, and you know, people, you know, we'd have a conversation with them, and then inevitably, as I've heard many, many times since that day, people would almost always, you know, we would ask them if they think they need Jesus, or we would ask them, are you a good person? And the majority of the world would say, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm good because I haven't killed anybody, or I don't lie that often. My good outweighs my bad. I try and, you know, do right things. But here's the thing that as we were being trained and has been made real to me in my life over and over and over again, is that all of us, and the Bible says it, right, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us is worthy of the love of God. Not one of us can earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't give enough. We can't do enough nice things for people. There is nothing that we can do to earn the love of God. Not one of us can sit back and say, God, you have to send your son for me. Right? No one can. Jesus, you have to get on the cross for me because I've earned it. Not one of us can say that, but yet God the Father loved his rebellious creation enough to send God the Son, and God the Son loved us enough to say, I'm going and willing to sit, to go suffer on the cross. Not one of us is worthy, but God doesn't love us based on our worthiness to be loved. Let me say that again, because I think that's a big thing for us to understand. God does not love us based on our worthiness to be loved. Because if that were the case, he might as well have just stopped it at Adam and Eve. Because once sin entered the world, our worthiness for love was out the door. Not one of us is worthy. But God does not love us based on our worthiness to be loved. He is love. He cannot do anything but love us in spite of all we do not to deserve his love. Everything that God is and everything that God does is birthed out of his character of love. He is love. He is love at his core. He's love in his most essential. That is God. The love expressed towards us at the birth of Jesus is evidence of the unconditional nature of God's love. There are not conditions on his love. God nowhere in Scripture says, I love you if you do this. Or I love you and you can be with me if you act this way or give this much or obey me all the time. Nowhere in Scripture do we find that, because Jesus came and he offered us a free gift of love in the person of Jesus. At the birth of Christ, love is realized. Love is made manifest. Helps us to see and understand that this God who created all things, who is master of all things, who holds the world and the universe in his hand, this God looks down on us and sees us and says, I love you. I love you so much that my son, my only son, my beloved son, I'm going to send him to suffer and to die because of my love for you. And that son says, you know what? I love you so much that I am willing to go to the cross for you, to suffer and to die. Now that is love. Jesus, knowing all too well what was coming to him, still came, still lived a perfect, sinless life. And as we celebrate in a few short months, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, knowing he was riding toward his death, but toward our salvation. I am grateful for the hope that the birth of Jesus brings, that we celebrated on week one of Advent. I am grateful for the peace that he initiates and the joy we have because of his coming. But all of this is brought about by the love God has for us. We have hope because of his love. We have peace because of his love. We have joy because of his love. Everything boils down to the love of God. We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve the incarnation of Jesus, the God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. We didn't deserve it, but we have a God who doesn't do things based on what we deserve, but rather based on his character, based on who he is, and he is love. His love for us was made manifest in the coming of Jesus, born as a baby in a manger, and his greatest love for us is realized fully in the death of Jesus on the cross, making a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. That is love. We cannot celebrate this season of Jesus' birth without also looking forward to his death, because the whole reason Jesus was born was the cross. And so we have to understand that, yes, he is a baby in a manger, and yes, it is a big deal that he was born. We celebrate that, and we are grateful for that as the greatest act of love. Well, it's 1A in the greatest act of love competition, Jesus being born. 1B is to come. 1B is the death of Jesus, buying our ability, our right, our opportunity to have relationship with Jesus, with God, and be forgiven of our sins. That is love. And that is worth celebrating. And that is why we wanted to walk through Advent this season, to remember and recall the birth of Jesus and the love that sent him to us. I really hope that this Advent season, this season of Christmas, may be a little bit different for you as we've walked through and talked about these ideas of hope and peace and joy and love and Jesus coming. And I hope you still celebrate all the other things, that you open presents and you have stockings, and I love to see the joy on my kids' faces when they open a present that they've been hoping for and longing for, right? That's such a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But this Christmas season, this season, we want to celebrate and remember and look at and understand Advent, the coming of Jesus. The love that God has for us, so great and so deep and so wide, immeasurable, unconditional, that he sent his son to be born in a manger, to live a perfect sinless life, and to die the death that we deserve. That is love. So as you think about love and you think about Jesus and you think about all of these things, let us remember the great love that God has for his people, his creation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for just who you are. God, that at your very core, you are love. God, that we, the way that we think about and understand and express love pales in comparison to you, the author, the originator, the perfecter of love. God, as we, as your followers, as people celebrate the coming of Jesus, the advent of our Savior, the birth of God, Emmanuel, God with us, as we think about that and celebrate that, God, we cannot help but remember the great love that you have for us. Unconditional, limitless, never ending. God, all of these things that we can describe love, God, help us to focus and understand and remember what love is. It's not a feeling. God, love isn't a feeling, because feelings come and go. Emotions are fleeting. God, love isn't presence. God, it's not us giving things to other people. God, love is a person. It's Jesus. It's God in flesh, the incarnation of the one that would save us from our sins. That is love. God, that you would look down on me and on us as people and say, we are worth sending your son for. God, that you see us and your great love for us is enough to say, I'm willing to give everything I have, my greatest possession, my son, for you. God, and that Jesus, God the Son, said, I'm willing to go to down and live in a dirty, filthy world. God, born in a manger on hay with animals all around. God, and ultimately, Jesus knew as he was born into this world, his death would save us all. So thank you. Thank you for loving us. God, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't understand that love or maybe has never accepted that love, God, I pray that you would impress upon them, God, that your spirit would draw them to you and you would open up the deep well of love and pour it out on them so they cannot do anything but cry out, Abba, Father, and run to you. God, and accept the love that you have for them. God, and maybe for those of us who at times feel unworthy, because God, ultimately we are, but God, thank you and we praise you that our worthiness is not where our love, your love comes from. Your love is without condition, God. It does not, we don't have to be worthy of your love to receive your love. God, it is free. God, and we thank you for that. So maybe for some of us this morning, we need to remember, God, that you love us. Maybe we need to step back into that love, because we felt unworthy, or we felt like, God, that we can't come to you with things. God, we know we can, because you are love, pure, unadulterated love. God, so thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your son into this world, and thank you for a season to celebrate that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.